Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, on this happy rainy Monday in Los Angeles. Good to see you, Marcellus. You looking good?
You too, my dog.
All right, let's go out to LeVar Arrington's crib. He's going to join us in the first segment here. LeVar, welcome to the show. We got a great show planned for you. Beyond LeVar, we got Warren Sapp coming on in the next segment. We're going to talk some Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. Tom Brady coming there. Find out what he's doing during the coronavirus. Jim Jackson's going to join us later in the show. We'll talk about the NBA, talking about playing horse and televising and maybe gambling. Who's better, Kobe or Tim Duncan? But let's start today right here in the National Football League, where we love to start. Let's start with one of my favorite topics, Cam Newton, who spent the weekend posting more Instagram videos. And it got me to thinking, I'm going to tell you the analogy I want to make. But first, I want to show you some of these videos. Here's Cam Newton playing volleyball with Josh Norman and some friends. Then we have Cam Newton doing push-ups in his driveway or somewhere close to his house. Obviously, Cam hasn't cut his hair as of yet, but he's showing out. Cam's in great physical condition. No one has doubted that. But watching these videos this weekend, I started to say, who is Cam Newton? Terrell Owens or a franchise quarterback? And what do these videos make you think of Cam Newton? Is he more T.O. than franchise quarterback by personality? You know where I kind of land. This stuff is not quarterback, franchise quarterback friendly. It's more like Terrell Owens. Cam Newton is addicted to social media, loves putting his life out there. Great for wide receivers, tight end. You want to be Rob Gronkowski? I just don't think it's a good look for a quarterback. So, Marcellus, get us rolling. Am I crazy for thinking Cam Newton, with his Instagram videos, looks more like T.O. than a franchise quarterback?
Nah, you're not crazy. You're just old as hell, and you're showing your age right now with that mindset, man. That is so standard issue, traditional, old school right there, where you really try to link and correlate someone's behavior and personality to their production or to who they are as a player. I've seen too many guys, and they're not outliers. They're just too many guys that are franchise quarterbacks that don't necessarily have the traditional personality when you talk about leading a franchise, whether it's a Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, same franchise, Ben Roethlisberger. And look at the new guns, the new ones, Patrick Mahomes, who's not just standard issue, sitting there with the bang and the curl in front of the hair. And he talks a little wider spectrum than the average Joe that's a franchise quarterback. And then Lamar Jackson. If you don't like Cam Newton, you just wait till you get about 5 years of NFL MVP Lamar Jackson in your face. And then you have to realize that there is no marriage between how you act and how you perform. Every football player knows you have to compartmentalize and, more importantly, hit the switch. So if I'm subdued as a person, as a player, I have to be an extrovert. I have to lead men. And I think the flip is also true when you talk about guys who have tremendous personalities but can still channel that energy into leading a team. So I have no problem with Cam right now.
LeVar, more T.O. or more franchise quarterback?
I have no problem with it. It's just more franchise quarterback. And you should be happy about this. Why? Because in that volleyball pick, it's not just Cam with his shirt off. It's everybody with their shirt off. And there happens to be one guy that's built almost like you, Whit. You should be happy about that. All right. Now, in the driveway, he has a shirt on. You should be happy about that. Okay. But on a more serious note, here's why I don't have a problem with it. All right. We're in a time where self-distancing is our current reality, okay? Cam Newton is a franchise quarterback that is showing a work ethic that is going around the social media sphere, okay? Most of the guys, if you're paying attention to what's going on with their stories, guys are doing handstand, put your shirt on challenges. Guys are doing open your hips challenges, throwing the ball challenges. A lot of the guys are connecting with one another through their stories and through their content on social media. So I think that there's a uniqueness to what it is that's going on right now. If we weren't in this time, in this day and age, I would maybe side with you a little bit with and say he needs to have a little bit more of being away from the social media. But this is a way for him to be able to stay connected to the guys that are out there, and they're seeing how hard he's working. I think it's franchise quarterback and leadership. That's how I look at it.
Look, I think y'all are misconstruing the question. The question was, does he look more like Terrell Owens or a franchise quarterback, in my opinion? And again, this isn't about whether I think this is appropriate or not. It's just like, what impression is he creating of himself for NFL executives? This guy is jobless at the moment. Sure, he's going to get a job. The guy wants to be a starting quarterback on a good team. Are these videos that he's putting out, again, are they making people be like, that's who I want as my franchise quarterback? That's the guy that can lead my team? Or does it make some people say, damn, how deep off is he into Instagram? How deep off is he into this extroverted personality that we see off the field? On the field, we see a guy with a towel over his head that when things don't go right, he tends to sulk rather than be a leader of men. I just think there's, and again, Marcellus can call me an old man. Most of these guys making this money are either my age or are giving out this money. The coaches, the executives, the ownership people, they're either my age or older. How do you think they're interpreting what they're seeing from Cam Newton on Instagram?
Man, have you ever been out with some of these owners? I'm not going to say any names. Jerry Jones, you ever been on the bus? I have. Let me just tell you this. These guys, I'm not going to say they live two different lives, but they understand the other side. Let's just say that.
It's two different lives.
I can say it because I know the GMs. No curfew. Call them no curfew because every time we landed on the road on a Saturday, we knew who had no curfew. It wasn't the players. It was the coaches and the GMs ripping up the cities every time we went on the road. But let me say the biggest thing, and we're burying the lead here in terms of watching this video. There was a whisper, a humble brag by Cam Newton that I think will catch the GMs and owners' attention, that he's healthy. This dude wasn't playing volleyball. He was playing sand beach volleyball. LeVar Arrington knows this. I know this being in L.A. There's a hill called the Sand Dunes. And it's where the Warriors go to die. And when you go on sand in a workout, you are telling everybody that not only am I healthy, but I'm ready to go get it in the sixth gear. So for Cam to be playing sand beach volleyball with another humble brag in his backyard, Cam is telling y'all, not only am I happy, I'm healthy, but I'm at the crib doing it the right way. Cam is all good with this.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll just to put a bow on it for me, again, I think Cam Newton is doing what most of the other guys are out here doing. And if I'm looking at him saying, well, he's not acting as a franchise quarterback, I would push back and say we've never been in a day and age in terms of technology where you're able to further the exposure of what you're doing in terms of your preparation. It used to be YouTube. It used to be having ESPN or Fox or another camera come out and watch you, like the TO type of stuff, local news. Now you have the ability to use your own platform, and he's not out here doing anything that would bring reproach upon him or his family. He's not doing anything that is destructive or disruptive. He's just showing that he's in shape and he's having fun doing it. I have no problem still looking at him as a franchise caliber quarterback looking for a job.
No one's accusing him of doing anything illegal, immoral, inappropriate. Is he getting closer with these videos to what his end game is. That's to be a starting quarterback this year on a team that can be competitive. Are the Los Angeles Chargers looking at this video and saying, you know what, I'd rather have him than Tyrod Taylor? I'm just not so sure. But, you know, LeVar, you aspire to have a haircut just like Cam Newton, so I'm not surprised. Oh. And Marcellus wants a body fan like Cam Newton, so I'm not surprised.
Whitlock, hold on, Witty. Yeah, if my LA Chargers are sitting there saying, is he looking like T.O.? You mean the Hall of Famer? Or you mean the guy who's top three at his position all time? No, he's not looking like T.O. Because, I mean, Cam Newton still has a hill to climb, and he needs that opportunity. But, man, it's okay to show personality now. We are not in the 80s and the 90s. These guys grew up with that phone in their hand, including some of these GMs understanding what these young players are up to. So, Cam, doing yourself, no problems out there. Just keep balling, man, and showing everybody you're ready for it.
All right, we got to keep moving. We're going to go out to Florida and catch up with our man Warren Sapp. Hey. We got a new segment, Pull Up. We're going to pull up at Sapp's crib. Nerds!
My guy.
My question.
Love the day.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. All right, we've had a little technical difficulty with Warren Sapp. We're going to move ahead to Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, welcome to Speak for Yourself. We're going out to Darnell's crib. What you got for us, big boy?
Yes, sir. Let's move across the pond, where the UK is fighting the coronavirus just like us, with a major campaign for people to stay home. Manchester City player Kyle Walker was promoting the government's efforts, tweeting for people to stay home and not even visit loved ones. But now he could be facing some discipline after it was reported he had sex workers to his house for a party just hours after sending out that tweet. Walker has since apologized. But I want to ask you guys, do you think we should be bothered by this?
Wow. Should we be bothered by the hypocrisy of an athlete putting out a celebrity or whatever, take an athlete out of it, putting out a PSA and not living up to the letter of the PSA? Nah, I'm not going to be bothered by this, just to be quite honest, because I didn't expect a lot of people putting out PSAs that they're not living up to. Look, I think everybody should stay at home. I walked the streets of L.A. for 3 hours yesterday out here in my neighborhood for exercise. Am I a hypocrite on that? And then when you think about the laws in the U.K. as it relates to what this guy paid for, it's legal over there. And so I'm just not that bothered. You know, it's a fascinating story. It's a funny little story. But am I bothered by it? Not really.
Nah, I see you, Whitlock. I thought I saw something walking down Wilshire. I said, my dog, In-N-Out is still open. I see you, brother. Not bothered. Not bothered at all. He just lied, which is like not about being an athlete or being a celebrity. It's about being a person. And the oldest profession in this world is not soccer. Is biting that apple from the tree of life. And he had to bite that apple. And the craziest part is, you got your phone open and you're about to send this PSA and then you hear the door knock. And you're like, hold on, I got to hit send on this BS before I go get this dope and really do what I got to do. That's the craziest part about it. So I'm looking at him like, look, we all know social media has a disconnect from reality. It's not authentic. But this just highlights that distance. And if I'm Walker, Kyle, look, man, we didn't need you to mislead us, give us the smoke screen, and then do you. You should have just did you. And there's enough people out there with the message or even propaganda to support social distancing. Why'd you put your name in that hat and then at the same time know what you were up to? That's crazy.
Look, I do think he probably got talked into doing the PSA. And then I think the guy's under 30 years old or around there. And probably in his mind, he's thinking he's being safe. Again, it's all relative and on what scale. Is he out at a club? Is he out visiting a brothel or something in his mind? He's like, no, it's just He's probably got a big home. And again, I'm not trying to defend what the guy's doing, but in the UK, what he did is legal. And so in his mind, he felt like he probably did a safer version of what he would normally do in that situation. Again, everybody knows where I stand, you know, ethically, morally, or whatever. But I also have to be a realist. And I can't. I visited the UK, and we'll just leave it at that.
My dog, 3 hours on the streets. I'm already knowing. But look, Whitlock, this ain't that, because you're talking about he got a big home, and so he probably still was being safe. You need something else big to be 6 feet away from somebody to do this? Like, this is like somebody knowing. Unless Kyle Walker, somebody I ain't never known to be like that. Ain't no way he thought that this was right. And that's the part that's a little disheartening. Like, we ain't asked you to be holier than thou or be better than us and then show us that you just like the rest of us. So I'm just looking at the situation. It's not something that's going to get me upset. This is for the social media, the post police, like all the post police out there. Get him. He's lying. This is BS. You can go attack him for that. But other than that, Kyle Waller is out there winning more than both of us actually right now.
All right. We're going to leave it alone. We're going to keep it moving. Hopefully we'll have Warren Sapp on the other side of this commercial break. We want to get out to Tampa and pull up at Warren Sapp's crib. If not, we'll have Jim Jackson and we'll talk some NBA. Speak for yourself from the crib. More after this. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, hopefully soon we're going to have Jim Jackson, but we'll start with the NBA considering Marcellus playing a game of horse, televising a game of horse. Guys playing from their homes and doing this, I guess, over satellite, not in the same gym, but listen, I'm old enough to remember when I think Wide World of Sports or somebody, they used to have NBA players playing horse during the offseason, and it was kind of fun, but that was like the 1970s. In 2020, can you still do that and be entertaining and interesting? Marcellus, would you enjoy seeing NBA players playing horse?
Hold on one sec. Oh, too much cheese. Too much cheese. My stomach hurt. Hell no. Look, I was on the fence with the NBA 2K, and I gave him 11 minutes of my time that I would never get back because Kevin Durant and all his greatness and star power were just staring at the screen. I was like, say something, do something. So I was like, that's a bad idea. You want to know what's a worse idea? Going out there playing horse. And the NBA is right now in a very peculiar place, obviously, because who doesn't want sports back? And they're trying to rush it back in doses just to keep their fans satisfied. I get that. But this is not going to work. They tried it. Don't forget, you don't even have to go back to the 80s, big dog. Let's go 2009, 2010 at the All-Star game. They tried horse. They stopped it in 2011 and haven't done it since because they saw the results. They saw that their fans were not interested in watching their stars play horse. So my example for this is the old saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now, most people understand what that means. That means when we have distance, I'm going to appreciate you even more. But you got to remember the fine details of that distance. Is when you know the other person or thing is coming back, that's when your heart grows fonder. Hey, baby, I've got to go on a trip to New York for a week. Okay, in that week, she's going to miss you. You're going to miss her. But this is not that. This is the NBA, because of the virus and the pandemic, just disappearing and not knowing when it's going to come back. So sometimes it's okay to just stay away from the sport. Don't even try to give us a sliver of it. Don't try to give us a piece of it. Just disappear from the sport and come back when you're at full throttle. I'm not liking this, and I don't think I'm going to tune in.
All right, before I sound off even more, let's go out to Jim Jackson's crib. We have Jim Jackson here. And, Jim, want your thoughts. NBA talking about playing horse. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Mm-hmm.
You know what? The way Marcellus did it, man, you don't want to see that. What else you got to do, bro? What else you got to do? Huh?
Three kids and a wife, homie. What's up? I got that. Real life.
You know, for a minute,
real life.
I thought it was a kind of a good idea, but then you just broke down everything. But listen, I give Adam Silver a lot of credit. He's trying to be creative in the fact of giving content. And I'm sure they talk to their TV networks, their sponsors, to get something viable. I don't know how viable the idea is in regards to what people may think about it. I think it could be fun. Imagine having Trae Young, Steph Curry, you can say Klay Thompson, Lillard, Doncic, all trying to do crazy stuff. It's some form of entertainment. It's not a one-on-one game. It's not something like that. It gives us a little context. I will give the NBA credit just for trying to be creative. Without watching, I'll watch it once. I don't think it has to be something that is a continual type of competition, but I like the idea of just being creative, but man, here, I got something for you, Marcellus, right here, man, a sippy cup, man. Dang, man, you just took a lot of everything right there, man. Take the sippy cup. My son is asleep, man. He's taking a nap, but then I'll get that to you, man.
Hey, I'm going to tell you why Marcellus is...
No, I'm just saying, be real, man. Look, if you watch the NBA, if you watch the NBA 2K, and they had Ronnie 2K hosting it. Hey, man, nothing against Ronnie 2K, but he was putting an impossible job, brother, trying to keep this thing afloat, trying to keep these two NBA players and entertain. Like, you imagine when you're not around someone, you don't have the same chemistry, same energy. You're in your isolated gym trying to say, okay, bank shot from deep. And then some dude via Skype is going to sit there and say, okay, I raise your shot. Man, that's so corny, man. Get out my face.
Yeah, the concept sounds good, but the logistics is a little bit tough to do. I get you.
Yeah, stop.
And I'm going to tell you the other issue, man. It's like, again, I'm old enough. It's like, I remember the game Atari. And I've tried to, like, I once bought an Atari in the last 5 years, like, oh, I bet you it would still be fun. No, it's not. They got PS4s, they got Xbox. Some things just go out of style, and it ain't no fun no more. And it's like the game of horse televised. I just don't see it. No how, no way. All right, let's transition to another NBA topic. Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, all inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend, which leads to an obvious question about Kobe Bryant versus Tim Duncan. We're going to leave Kevin Garnett out of this. Clearly, he's the third best of these two players. Who had a better career, better player, Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant? Marcellus, get us rolling.
I think anybody who answers this has to respectfully first say, this is close. But then... you can start to understand that there is a difference in these two careers. And the difference is the heights of Kobe Bryant versus the heights of Tim Duncan. And not just in accomplishment, but in style, in the way that you accomplish those feats. So I'm going to go with Kobe Bryant. And my boy Max Kellerman told me one time, when you're judging a boxing match round by round, and it's really tight, and you don't know who really won it, he said, there's a real simple answer for it. Just say who you rather be in that fight, in that round. And if you think about it, who would you rather have been? Kobe Bryant as a basketball player or Tim Duncan as a basketball player? Using that logic, to me, I think that most people, including myself, is going to say they'd rather have been Kobe, because the five championships are the same, but they look a little different when Kobe accomplished his. I'm going with Kobe.
You know, it's splitting hairs. It depends on what you're looking at. Now, Jason, you talked about player career. Who's the best player? I think Kobe's the best player, of course, from that perspective, but not by a large margin. They're just totally different. Career-wise, Tim Duncan had a few more defensive, first and second, second teams than Kobe did. But it depends on what lens you're looking to. To me, both are Hall of Famers. Both are probably top 10. I think Tim Duncan kind of redefined a little bit how we looked at a seven-footer, not playing center, playing more power forward at his size. Hakeem was only about 6'10", to be honest with you, playing center, doing some things that we haven't seen. Tim Duncan was a little bit different, never really wanted to be considered a center, was more of that force. He may go down as the best power forward to ever play the game. And again, his styles were so different. Kobe's impact on the game, not just from here in the States, but internationally, is something that plays into that a little bit more in regards to career because of what he was able to, I think, establish himself as a worldwide phenomenon in that regards of how people viewed him internationally. Tim Duncan was stoic. You know, he really didn't know what he thought, but he was a fiery competitor. He just went about his business a lot differently. But when you do that, I don't think people give you the amount of credit you deserve because it's not always in your face all the time, kind of like the competitiveness of a Michael Jordan, of a Kobe Bryant, like that. So it is splitting hairs. But again, I think to your point, Marcellus too, who would you rather be? Me, I'm a guard. So, you know, I look at it from Kobe's perspective. I had the honor to play with him. I mean, the things that he did play and win a little bit differently, maybe not as efficient as Tim, but most players are not on the perimeter as efficient as centers anyway. But I will give the slight edge to Kobe.
Listen, guys, clearly we're splitting hairs. You can make a case for either one of these guys. Jim, you said something. Tim Duncan, best power forward of all time. You could argue that. You can never argue that Kobe was the best shooting guard of all time. Because of Michael Jordan, can't be done. So here's Tim, the best at his position of all time. 5 championships, I think 2 regular season MVPs. With one team the entire time, both guys were. Tim Duncan, I just got to say it, never involved in any type of controversy. Never involved in anything that put his character in question, things like that. So is it easier to relate to Kobe? He's 6'5", 6'6", whereas Tim Duncan's a 7-footer. It's a lot easier to relate to Kobe. You know, he's smaller the whole night. Right. It's hard to relate to the 7-foot NBA players. But if I had to choose who had a better career, it was Tim Duncan. And I think I would even go as far as say better player, better teammate. You can go either way. I don't disagree with anybody, or I can't have a strong argument against anybody that picks Kobe. But, damn, Tim Duncan's pretty hard to beat, man.
No, you know what? And you're not wrong in that assessment. And I'll go back to this. You talk about, I think you made a great point. Being a center is very hard to market centers. Even Yao Ming, when he was at his height, in China, it was Kobe. It was Allen Iverson that were probably more popular than Yao himself. Now, I can take the same argument and say, who's the greatest player to play all time? I think it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If you look at his accomplishments from high school to college to the NBA, okay, when you took overall totality, but again, because Kareem was stoic, because he had his own things on and off the court in regards to political stance, he wasn't really liked by a lot of media. He wasn't as amenable to the persona, the people, the marketing. So now you tend to cast that off differently, and you don't give him the credit. I think Tim got put in that box as well, because you heard from Tim, but you didn't really know who Tim was. And as close knit as Kobe was, at least we still got a sense and feel who Kobe Bryant was when he played. With Tim, we really still, it was like a mystery box on who Tim was. Does he really play hard? Is he competitive? We know he can win. We know he can score. But what is he thinking on the court? Because he didn't really communicate. So I think that, when you look at, when you start, you know, putting everybody in these, you know, the greatest of all times, they tend to leave Tim's name out because of the way he played, and we never really got a chance to know him, which is unfair.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that Tim Duncan, history is reshaping itself right now. I know they label Kevin Durant as a small forward, but he's bigger than Tim Duncan, so damn it.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, we won't be able to say that Tim Duncan is the best power forward of all time, because Kevin Durant is certainly going to take that, even if he doesn't have the same amount of championships. So it's just no wrong answer, and I'm glad that respectfully people can have this banter without slandering the other one, because they're mm-hmm. both top 10. Let's just make sure we understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the argument, though, that I think will make my case a little bit stronger for Tim Duncan. Let's be honest. 10 NBA coaches, if we set 10 NBA coaches down and said, you're starting a franchise, who would you rather have, Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan? I got to believe 7 to 9 of them would say Tim Duncan.
Well, yeah,
I agree with that. I think so.
I agree with that. Again, there's no right or wrong answer here in regards to who you believe is the better of the two. You know, your opinion is based on a certain amount of facts. Marcellus is mine. So I'm not going to sit here and say, no, that's incorrect. I think you talk to some players, they may say, well, you know, I'll take Tim over Kobe. Okay? It just depends on who you're talking to and what their criteria, you know? So you're correct in that. It's not a right or wrong answer.
No, he's wrong. Let me help him. He's wrong. I'll tell you this. You know what's crazy? One, it's the physics. So any coach, when you say, okay, they're both A-plus players, but then you're going to say, which one's the bigger one? Which one's the taller one in basketball because you're closer to the rim? So physics and in personality, which one is easier to deal with? But guess what those both tell me? That the coach is trying to find the easier path of less resistance. He's trying to find which one makes me not have to do my job as much, basically. And if you look at it, that's not right. As a coach, you're supposed to say, I need to do my job, and I'm employed to coach him up. And that happens a lot in sports where coaches are like, oh, I don't want to deal with that guy. Oh, this guy's a headache. Oh, this guy's difficult. Oh, this guy doesn't get it. It's like, but you get a check to get the most out of him no matter what the circumstances are. So in PER and win shares, you're right. Tim Duncan mm-hmm. beats Kobe Bryant in those deeper categories. But that doesn't mean as a coach you're right because you want the path of least resistance. Because in reality, you get Kobe, you didn't get some slouch and you didn't get something lesser than Tim Duncan. You just got somebody smaller who might show his desire in different ways.
Let me go one more time, Marcel. Let's say 10 coaches had to choose between Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael Jordan. I think you get a 5-5 split on that. But when it's Kobe and Tim Duncan, I think it's overwhelmingly Tim Duncan.
Yeah, you got me. I ain't got nothing for that. Hey, I ain't over here married to nothing but my wife. You got me. Let's go to commercial.
Hey, look, you dropping mic on that right there. Whitlock, you dropping
mic. Drop it.
All right, we're done here. All right. LeVar Arrington's going to rejoin us. Going to talk about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Speak for yourself from the crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this. Welcome back to Speaking for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. We're going to be joined again by LeVar Arrington from his crib. All right, we're going to move to Tom Brady, who published an article for the Players Tribune. Had some interesting things to say. But most interesting, he went on to thank some people. He's saying, it's the relationships I made in New England that I'll miss the most. Of course, it starts with the entire New England Patriots organization and Robert Kraft and the entire Kraft family. It extends to countless other individuals who played such a valuable role in my 20 years as a Patriot. There's only one mention of Bill Belichick in this article, and it's not a thank you. It's an aside. It's some detail about a story that he was telling about his draft day experience. Marcellus, did Tom Brady just take a little shot at Bill Belichick in this article?
I don't think so. I understand where our antennas are up. Like, whoa, wait a minute. The omission of Belichick's name. But at the same time, you do have countless number of coaches. One head coach, but countless numbers of coaches. And I'm sure Tom Brady and the quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, on the offensive side, he has a lot of respect for a lot of people there and maybe didn't want to get into singling out. But there's only one owner. And guess what? You see his name every single week on that check next to your name. Not Belichick, Robert Kraft, who gave you these opportunities. So I think what this really is, this is like personal to me because I have a friend who's going through a divorce, married someone who was very young, 18 when she was married to him, and he was like 28. And everybody's now seeing them going through this divorce is like, oh, you just married her too young. And you say, oh, she grew apart from him. But she didn't grow apart from him. What she really did was grow into herself with him. And she didn't know what that was before him. That's what's happening with Tom Brady. It took him 20 years, but guess what? Tom Brady is like, wait a minute. You caught me when I was young, 22. Nobody else seemed to want me. I'm a sixth rounder. Even in this article, he says he didn't know if he was going to get drafted at all. And then not only is he thrown behind a $100 million quarterback by the name of Drew Bledsoe, he's thinking, I'm never playing. Then Drew gets knocked out. And then they throw a Super Bowl on him, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years on him. And he's like, I guess this is good. This is good as it gets. But he started to grow into who he was. And TB12 started in 2013. What you're seeing is the full maturation of Tom Brady. And now it's his time to flex. We're going to see it.
I think when you throw that full maturity, the maturation part of this whole Tom Brady thing, it's certainly throwing shade. It's taking a shot at him because he's too old. He's too smart. He's too mature to have a take that has so little acknowledgement of the coach. And generally speaking, you're always going to acknowledge your coaches and in particular, your head coach. So I think that from the start of this, since all of the conversations have began, will Tom Brady stay or not, the Patriot way and how guys should be treated equally, even if it's Tom Brady going through the process of the Patriot way. If you think for 2 seconds Tom Brady doesn't feel as though he helped in building what the Patriot way represents and all of the faces that Tom Brady has seen through the years come and go, and yet they still continued to win. And the two common components was him and Bill Belichick. And that not being acknowledged and reverenced and appreciated, you have to look at that as he took a shot at it. He was throwing shade.
Well, I'm not sure if he took a shot, but I do think he's given us a peek into his mindset and how deep he thinks he has to go into his mindset and a new outlook on life in order for this big bet he just took on himself in Tampa in order for it to be fully realized. I'm going to stick with Marcellus's relationship analogy because I love those. I think sometimes when you had a long relationship and then you separate and then you try to get into a new relationship, the person you're in a relationship with will at some point say, hey, man, you got to forget about her. That's over in the past. Don't bring her up. Don't tell me anything she did. Don't tell me how she cooked this or any of that. You have to let all of that completely go and so you can move on to Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so I think that this is Tom Brady. Like, for the next 2 or 3 years, he's done really talking about Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. He's going to be all in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so I think this is just a pivot of, I've said enough nice things about Bill Belichick. I'm now a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm getting deeper into the mindset that I feel like I need to have to reach my full potential here in Tampa Bay. I'm done talking about Belichick. We'll do that when we get to Canton, Ohio, and I'm getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Bruce Arians is my coach. I'm done talking about Belichick.
Then he should have said it.
You with. You don't say it because what he did say in an article, what he said, I quote, I'm trying to do things that have never been done in my sport. That's risky. But you know what? He also knows I'm playing with house money. I'm too big. I'm too successful. All right, got 6 rings to play it safe, to even worry about if this is not going to work or not. This is fun for him. He said, I'm trying to do something that's never been done, and it's fun for me. What's fun about it? Going on the ledge, going on that limb and just saying, Belichick, me and you together, man, we're superpowers. You know, Wonder Twins, activate. He's like, nah, you know what? Let me see how much I brought to the equation. Even though I may be 42 going on 43 this year, I still want to see how much power I have left in me, because that pine box and that 6 feet under is only customized for you. Tom Brady does not want to go into retirement to his grave always thinking about this coupled identity. It's time for him to see what he can do on a solo. I like that.
That sounds good. It sounds good, but if that's the case, then put it all on the shelf until you finish up. Don't address Robert Kraft and many others not mentioned by name and go into the details about how much it meant to you and all those different things. But, oh, yeah, but I'm a hit the brakes on bringing up the most important figure in terms of my development as a player and the head coach. If you're going to go that route with it, just say it. Say exactly what you just said, Whitlock, and say it. If you're not going to go down that road then leave the whole thing alone.
He doesn't have to say it, LeVar. He can just do it.
Well, he did.
And in order for him to go all in on Bruce Arians, he's got to let go of Belichick. What did I just read about Arians' deal? Win or lose, we're going to hit the booze or whatever. It's a more loose, fun atmosphere in Tampa. And to me, it just sounds like Tom Brady's going to let go of all the Patriot way, and he's going to get into the Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay way as deep as he possibly can, and that includes letting Bill Belichick go. I think this is a calculated decision by Tom.
Yeah, of course it is.
Pivot. It's a signal to those of us in the media. I don't think it's a shot, though. I think it's what he feels he has to do in order to be successful in Tampa Bay. All right, we got to keep it moving. Uncle Jimmy's going to join us. He's going to help us talk about our approval rating for Cam Newton. Speak for yourself from the crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, time now to go to Uncle Jimmy's crib. Talk about our approval rating for Cam Newton.
Yes,
all right, Uncle Jimmy, Cam's been all over IG. And last week, I think Cam tried to get slick and tried to subtweet me or whatever. Tried to send a little message to people like me. Take a look.
I'm used to bearing the weight, my boy. You dig what I'm saying? Listen, I don't understand. How does a person that's not working have control over the person that is working and have the nerve or the audacity to say something about the person that's working?
Uncle Jimmy, you got any thoughts on Cam? I know he wasn't talking about me because I'm putting this work in.
Hey, man,
the devastating galls.
Hey, man, I ain't got no problem with Cam doing, man. I ain't got no problem whatsoever.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you this. Cam look a hell of a lot more like T.O. do on that Stairmaster than you do. I'm just trying to jake.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, man.
Wow.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, look, Cam just got to a point in his life, man. Cam got to start thinking about his future, man. For real. You know, in other words, Cam done became an Instagram model. An instant gratification model.
What?
And any team, he's become an IG model. An instant gratification model. And any team he goes to in the NFL has got to be able to give him that instant gratification. Straight up.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, look at
him. You called him a thought?
Hey, man, I'm telling you something, man. Cam don't mind showing you pictures of his arm, his chest, his whatever. I tell you what, he ain't showed you a picture of that foot. Hey, I heard him. Hey, man, I heard him had the same surgery that Kunta Kinte had. Hey, say what you want to. He got
all right,
the
internet agrees with me. Got him at a
say
scout
team.
All right, that's it for us.
Say I'm lying.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.